Hello, everyone. Gabriel here. It is a frosty morning, Friday, November 21st, 2025, and things are going very well. Quite a fair bit in terms of updates for all of you. I hit a pretty major strength milestone in my own right. I can now overhead press a plate, which is about 135 pounds. This was a pretty exciting goal to hit because it was something I was working towards pretty steadily for the last few months. And I honestly thought it was farther away because I want to say 2 months ago, I gave it a shot and even attempting a single rep was entirely out of reach, so I guess it would have been much further away than it actually was. But after a few months of pushing hard, I actually succeeded. The last time I was in the gym, I was very happy about it. And it's really funny because somebody at the gym was like, okay, you made it, what next? And I'm like, honestly, as far as that lift is concerned, I'm not entirely sure, because some mind virus was put in my head that a reasonable strength standard hit was one plate overhead press, two plate bench, three plate squat, four plates deadlift, which I am in that order further away from by quite a fair bit. Of course, I've achieved the first one, but the people at the gym who I would tell that to, they would say that is absurdly arbitrary. And so, I don't know, maybe I can relax and just focus on getting better at the lifts I'm working on in general without focusing on any particular target. But I'll definitely say that's a benchmark I'll be keeping in mind, if for no other reason than I am glad that the first target was relatively achievable. So I will be curious about that two plate bench moving forward, which it just so happens today is bench press day on my program, so I'll be looking forward to that. Speaking of other updates, yesterday I weighed in at 320 as a new low, though just barely underneath like 320.7 or something like that. And that's a pretty phenomenal place to reach, because with my highest being 570 something, that means I'm over 250 pounds down at this point. And I don't know, it's just, damn, it has been a long journey. A lot has changed. And so one of the better ways of celebrating that is that I actually managed to get my DEXA scan. That's right. I will be including in the notes of this recording the full body docs. You know, it's bad enough that Gabriel's been face docs for such a long time and that I am incredibly doxable, but now I am sharing my innards with all of you. So there will be a photo of the DEXA scan. It's, unfortunately, it is cut up. One of the arms couldn't make it onto the table. It seems like they would rather have one arm completely than partial of two, though maybe I could have moved things around better to fit onto the table. But I'm just chalking that up to being big has consequences. And just because I am slightly below the weight tolerance of this machine doesn't necessarily mean that I fit the ideal dimensions of the scanning bed. So that was a little disappointing. It definitely means from that to my end goal, I will not have per se an apples to apples comparison. Although I could ask them to similarly cut off the arm in the next one, but that would feel a little bit silly. What I will say surprised me a little bit is that I had in my spreadsheet a napkin math body fat calculation of what I thought I was. And it was a very, very naked it was a very straightforward napkin math calculation of, let's just guess that I have 180 pounds of lean body mass and the rest of it needs to be lost in fat. And according to this DEXA scan, it actually estimates that I'm actually only 41% body fat. So I actually, in theory, compared to my spreadsheet estimating 50% body fat, I am a little further ahead than I think, which I guess explains why I guess I've been feeling maybe a bit harder on myself than I really should be. And I guess I was off by exactly 10%, one could say, at least in my self-image, I don't know. So overall, I am excited to have, if nothing else, this snapshot that says where I currently am, and in the long run, maybe as I hit the low 200s, it will be really interesting to do another follow-up and compare, because I will say one of the exciting things about where I'm at now is that I may have a reasonable way of comparing my current body composition to that point body composition. Because the nice thing about hitting that overhead press target is that it is concrete proof I can build strength while cutting reasonably hard on the diet. And so I will be very curious on how much more strength I can build between now and the goal weight. Really, that's really what excites me at this point. It gives me something to focus on when dieting is either taking a lot out of me or being difficult in other ways. And yeah, that's just really what I'm excited for these days, is to give it the best shot I can, make use of this runway that I have accumulated, and we'll see how it goes. Over time, I am trying to get better at the total irony of my situation, where I need to paradoxically accept myself as I currently am, despite the fact that I am already in the process of changing quite rapidly. I am at the point where every pound loss definitely seems to show some small shift, and I certainly felt that a lot throughout the 300s. At the high 300s, I could say effectively I was invisible to the people around me, and now that I'm in the low 300s, and also while working at a front desk, it's the kind of thing that I am now seeing more people and being treated entirely differently. Now, again, I think a big part of that is my own deliberate efforts to come out of my own shell, but I do think there definitely is something to the idea that people definitely perceive you differently at different sizes. And it's fascinating to me, because when I go back and think about my journey upwards in weight as things spiraled out of control in my life, I definitely can now in hindsight see where certain tipping points were that on the way up I would not have recognized. I would not have known how extreme things would shift in what would seem, especially if you weren't tracking it, as relatively innocuous or invisible shifts. And so that's quite fascinating on many different levels, to have seen both sides of it. I certainly wouldn't recommend anyone get as big as I did simply to see all the way up and all the way down. But I can certainly say it is a unique experience in understanding, I guess, how what is ostensibly the same person can be perceived in a variety of situations. One of the nice things is that because at the gym my story is so well known at this point, many people will express sympathy and give some comfort by detailing that they have gone a similar journey. Usually the numbers aren't quite as high, mind you. They'll say like, oh, I was, you know, 60 pounds I had to lose, you know, whatever. And it's kind of funny. I think they are like reflexively worried that I'm gatekeeping weight troubles, as if like, oh, because I've lost so much that I somehow don't appreciate the journey they've taken. And it's actually ironically the opposite. It's more that I'm like feeling like they should have no reason to be impressed with what I've done, because I'm like, I just went from bad to slightly bad. You know, I haven't completed this journey. I have not acquired a healthy body weight. I am still very far away from it. And so much so that I don't really know what I'm in for. And it's like, that's kind of why it's interesting, because those people who, you know, really only needed to lose 80 or 60 pounds or whatever it was, those are the stories I'm most interested in now these days, because I want to understand what physically changes, what you notice. Because one very nice lady told me that what she noticed was all the like broader emotional benefits of like coming out of your shell, feeling more confident, feeling more in charge of your life. And I'm like, well, I've already got that mostly down pat. You know, it's like those changes were part of this process. So like, that's not new or interesting. I mean, maybe they are interesting and I should be more grateful, but what I'm mostly curious about, and yesterday was a perfect example of that, is I was busing across the city, and it was a pretty arduous thing to do, even at my size. And that's something that was a little jarring to experience. I realized, wow, I've lost all this weight, but even these still relatively simple things can still take a lot out of me. And so, while I know that I will never reach a point of weightlessness where these things will have no challenge to them whatsoever, I am just definitely hoping that the basics will continue to get easier as I continue to make progress, which one would logically think so, but personally, I'm anxious about these things. I'm anxious that where I'm currently at is the best it'll get, which I think has to do with the fact that I spent so long at this weight. I think because I'm used to being this sized, there is a part of me that actually doubts I can continue to get below it. Is it, I'm not sure if it's just unfamiliarity, if it's fear of the unknown, or whatever it is. But all that to say, I am excited. I am really looking forward to continuing to reach forward and get stronger and make the best of this. And that's really what excites me these days. So things are moving along. I hit that new low recently. I'm down over 250 pounds. I am excited to have this DEXA scan as a before photo to compare with later in the process. And I am thrilled to continue to make progress on strength goals as I lose the weight. To go on a bit of a mini rant, I've been really reflecting on what dieting is in this whole process, because when it comes to what I needed to learn to truly reverse my situation, I'm looking at all the little things I had to get better at and get better at doing. And the first thing I had to learn is that understanding something is definitely very different from putting it into practice. Just because you can play with the idea in the abstract doesn't mean you can actually bring it to fruition in your own life. And so, in wrestling with that, I had to actually really get good at taking control of my own diet and nutrition, and that was an opportunity for me to learn as much as I could. And it's fascinating to me in many ways, because I think it has put me at odds with many other weight loss commentators, because there are many I pay attention to. And I think the problem is that we kind of ignore how every tool has its place. For instance, some people are incredibly dogmatic. They'll say you have to eat carnivore and that's the only way you live healthy, yada, yada, yada. And it's interesting because the mainstream will say, oh, anything is fine as long as it's a varied and balanced diet, but they don't really dive too deep into what that means. And it's fascinating to me on many levels that nutrition, as somebody who was like trying to learn it with a pretty fresh pair of eyes, it's pretty complicated and there's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of, you know, stuff in the weeds. Whereas when, you know, you go to various weight loss discussions and you try to like learn nutrition for the first time, they're like, it doesn't matter, just eat less, you know? And if you're somebody where it's like, I'm trying to decide what to meal prep, I'm trying to decide what to incorporate into the plan, it's the kind of thing that that kind of advice isn't very helpful because you're trying to understand what to do. And many psychology people will tell you that it is way better to focus on what you should be doing rather than what you shouldn't be doing, because you can't not do a thing. You do other things is how you approach that. And so in thinking about this, I realized that that's probably a big part of the reason why there's so much contradictory and confusing advice in weight loss discussions writ large. Because what happens is somebody learns a skill. For instance, meal prepping. I would say meal prepping is an amazing skill to have, I would say for your overall life, but especially for dieting while in time-constrained circumstances. The weeks where I have meal prep available and I don't have to think about what I'm eating, I just take what I've already prepared and run that program, so to speak, it's very helpful. It's like, it makes a huge difference. But you need to have a foundation of, well, A, having the cooking skills that you're capable of making a decent amount of something, having the ability to control your appetite so that you can't just gorge on the entirety of the meal prep before you actually need to use it, and these kinds of things. So I would consider meal prepping not really an entry-level dieting skill. I honestly think, as silly as it sounds, you would probably be better off buying pre-prepared, I would say relatively healthy meals at the start and work on your cooking skills and other associated skills before diving straight into meal prepping. But the thing is I can imagine a circumstance somebody has where, again, they're pressed for time, certain things have gone off the rails, and meal prepping was kind of that last piece that put their life all together, and then everything kind of just worked great from there. And you can imagine this with a lot of different skills, whether it's intermittent fasting, whether it's trying to focus on particular micronutrients, whether it's avoiding certain foods. I can imagine many scenarios where those specific decisions are low effort, high reward decisions in the context of a particular person's life. Where this all falls apart is then when people give generalized advice, they are saying, oh, well, you must do these things or else you won't be successful. And then people get discouraged because they try the huge multitude of contradictory advice and recommendations out there, and they just feel like they're spinning their wheels and not getting anywhere. And so I guess what I would say is that the reason why dieting is so complex for so many people is, A, when you're starting out, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what skills are ultimately useful in your situation. But then you're also very confused about how to even begin them, because you can be told, oh, just make this recipe. But if you're the kind of person like me who is dependent on ordering in food instead of actually making anything for a pretty extended period of time, you'll realize very quickly that your skills for getting it done are very atrophied, if present at all. And so the thing is that it becomes incredibly valuable to slowly build up the skills that can help you. But I will say, one of the things that makes it so hard to get started is that you need immediate feedback. You need to know it's working. And I think the hard part of this is that I would say, if you're being reasonably honest and things aren't so off the rails, you're not really gonna know in a short period of time, because your general body weight can fluctuate enough that even if you're doing really well in a single week, you can't really know. And so, depending on the unique situation, that may affect how much time you need to see progress. And I guess with where I'm at, I've now decided, despite the fact that I have been obsessively changing things up and trying to constantly refine my process, now I'm at the point where I'm like, you really don't know if something's working until you've like applied it consistently for a month. And I think that's incredibly hard for people who are trying to start dieting. Someone's trying to change their life and they're feeling constant pressure of not just themselves, but maybe even people around them saying, you're doing it right, you're doing everything you can, you should be constantly thinking of how you can improve, but they don't have the feedback. You know, it's not like they have a health bar on their character sheet that they can see improving or decreasing as time goes on. And that's not what the scale is. I think that's kind of an illusion that exists, where people will say, oh, the scale is just, you know, a barometer for health. And don't get me wrong, in the long term, it probably works that way. But again, in the short term, it definitely doesn't. And so the thing is that I think what makes dieting so hard at the start for many people is that you don't know the skills, you haven't mastered the skills, and to go even further, you don't have the practice with those skills to be familiar with them in the context of your own life. For instance, my situation has changed and fluctuated in certain parameters on the way down, and I've definitely noticed some skills having more benefit than others. For instance, when I had the luxury of more time, I would spend the time to just make food as a way of enjoying what I'll call a low stimulation activity by not being constantly imbibed with online media and whatnot, but then also taking the time to actually make a meal to have the appreciation for it. And that involved cleaning, by the way. And so I think for many people across the board, what makes dieting so complex is that people are pushing these skills on you that may or may not apply to your life. Some of them are very helpful, some of them aren't. And some are more, I would say, broadly useful than others. Like, I will certainly say calorie counting is miserable and not very fun, but it is an important part of the picture to at least get a vague idea of what your intake is like. But I'm not dogmatic about it. Like, if somebody was like, oh, you have to calorie count to lose weight, it's like, as far as like calendar days, I have probably not calorie counted the majority of my way down. Now, I am in the position where I am fairly flexible. I have, by being such a large person, I have a much larger calorie budget to play around with. So it's the minute details are not as critical, especially when I'm just interested in direction. But when I'm like trying to lock in and trying to focus on losing as much weight as possible, you know, especially around the time I would get anxious about, oh, is this month gonna be better than the next month? That's when that tool would come into focus more in my mind. But I can say one of the questions that I was going on in my head that I was trying to answer was, why was it so much harder to start than to keep going? And I think it really does boil down to the fact that if you don't have the skills, it's very hard to learn how to learn them when you're already feeling what is probably an extreme amount of pressure. And pressure is corrosive to your ability to calmly evaluate and be consistent with relatively small changes. Because the circumstance I was in, especially at the start of this was kind of a, I'm throwing the kitchen sink at this, I am going to be constantly doing everything I can. But that was a luxury of the fact that I was able to set aside all my time and focus on this particular endeavor. When there are competing priorities or competing circumstances, what ends up happening is that your ability to throw the kitchen sink at the problem is limited. And so that's something I'm becoming more in tune with now, where I've taken on additional responsibilities in real life, and I'm realizing that is making this game a bit more complicated. But thankfully, I am continuing to move forward, and that's great, but it's teaching me how important those skills really are. And so part of the things that I find fascinating is I had been kind of asking myself, you know, when I'm at the gym, there's a bit of selection bias going on. Anyone I talk to there and ask questions about the process or have, you know, just a normal conversation that includes the topic, I'm dealing with somebody who is already selected to be way more aware and understanding of the process, the skills, the everything, than at least the general population. Is that I'm realizing more and more that what your ordinary person or somebody who is struggling with these issues is probably missing more than anything else is an approach that emphasizes building up those skills that isn't so bound to pressure, you know, because when you see weight loss forums and you see the discussions, they're like, just do this, this, and this, and then you'll start seeing results like pretty quickly, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, I always found that very frustrating, especially for me starting out, because there were what I would call non-diet skills that I needed to learn. I had a lot of emotional challenges that needed to be directly wrestled with, that I needed to clear the plate, so to speak, before even getting to the other finer aspects of dieting, when part of the issue was I was compulsively eating to soothe pain, and I needed to address that pain, or else anything I would attempt would completely fall off the rails. And so I think I was somewhat fortunate to do that, to actually focus on the emotional side, which, to be blunt, I will say life kind of quartered me into doing. It was certainly not by choice. It was certainly not a calculated decision, but it is how it ended up going. And so once I had tackled that emotional foundation, I will be quite honest in saying that the dieting skills portion of learning how to put these things into practice was comparatively much, much easier. And that's why, to me, it's fascinating in many ways that people are very impressed by the weight loss itself, but I can certainly say, to me, it is a lot less meaningful than the internal changes I notice. The way I am approaching my own problems, the way I am approaching situations in my mind, those are the fruits that I am appreciating much more than the body changes. And I guess part of it has to do with a bit of vanity that maybe I will never be happy with how my body looks for a variety of reasons. And so maybe I simply need to accept that. But that's ultimately my point here, is that as I understand the process at this time, dieting is not really anything terribly special. It is not a sign of somebody being a good or a bad person. It is not a statement of who someone is as a person. It is fundamentally just a collection of skills that I would say many people, especially myself, had the misfortune of not actually being well in tune with when it was certainly very important. And the thing is, when it comes to these skills, is that many people, I think, who don't struggle with weight issues would assume I'm overcomplicating this. And I would say, well, just check out any dieting forum, and believe me, this is a much simpler way of thinking about it than how most people discuss it. But the thing is that these skills, these life skills for controlling your own lifestyle, the environment you are living in fundamentally, I would say the problem with these skills and why they may seem like overkill for one person but not others is that I believe that the modern world as it exists is fundamentally incompatible with the idea of optimal human health. And I'm not going to really like nail down what optimal human health is. I certainly don't pretend or imagine myself to be an authority on it. But many people, for example, will say that the reason why obesity is such a big thing is because McDonald's and, you know, similarly hyper-palatable foods are so ubiquitous that we just can't control ourselves. And it's fascinating because I have to give a friend of mine some credit for this, because I remember being at my highest, talking with her about how, you know, I was basically telling her how I shame myself for being out of control. And she was very, I would say, perceptive at pointing out that, is it really that you're out of control, or are you just responding to your body needing things in the incorrect way, and you are not giving your body what it needs in a way that manages those feelings properly? And it was fascinating to me because that was what really helped me disconnect the idea in my head that my compulsion to eat was necessarily about food. It was definitely a strange experience to realize, oh, this isn't strictly about hunger. This isn't strictly about needing certain things. And so by working on, I would say, tackling those emotional roots to the compulsive drive to eat as much as possible, it made the process of tackling food much easier because I had already removed that major pressure point. But I think what makes the modern world, beyond just, you know, hyperpalatable foods, hyperprocessed foods, these kinds of environmental factors, I actually think the prime environmental factor that motivates people to be, I think the prime factor that drives people to be in poor health is actually the isolation that most people experience out of modernity. We are taught that individualism itself is some kind of highest good, that everybody in theory exists in a vacuum, and we shouldn't live for others and those around us, and that those around us mean nothing to us, these kinds of things. And that's a pretty uncharitable take on modernity, I guess, but the way I very much see it these days is that this is very relevant to the whole weight loss discussion. You have somebody who, in many ways, you know, falls off the rails health-wise, and then people will say things like, oh, well, they can't blame their parents, they can't blame society, and on some level, I think accountability and taking ownership of your problems is good. But there is definitely extreme people take it where it's like, as if other people are not involved at all. We all live in a society, whether we're responsible for our own problems or not. And so taking responsibility, in my mind, is not at all at odds with recognizing, and even scarier to many people, wanting to address systemic changes. And so when it comes to the fact that I believe the modern world, and I would say the modern culture that we live in, I mean, I'm talking here from Canada, but maybe it's similar elsewhere, is that there is this isolation that drives certain incentives. And I think this fundamentally relates to many other issues people have. For instance, social media addiction is one of the hot button issues people like to point at. And I have to give credit to Lily for something she pointed out when it comes to this phenomenon, is that the example she gave is that Apple promises their smartphone battery life is going to last 2 days. And everybody's like, that's ridiculous. A smartphone doesn't last a single day. And her argument is not that the battery is dying, it's that we are failing the battery because we are not using the device in a controlled and responsible way as just a thing for phone calls and occasional interaction with the online world. We are using it to basically shut out the outside world. Now, where I break with many people's assessment of this problem is that while I am intimately aware at how these platforms are designed to manipulate people, how they are bleeding edge research on how to be addictive and how to really get under people's mental, emotional, and probably spiritual skin, I break with the idea that the technologies themselves are uniquely responsible for this. And this is where this idea overlaps with weight loss and other related issues, because I heard this talk where someone was talking about addiction, and they did this study on rats. And basically, the thing they love doing with rats in these kind of experiments is they give them a button that dispenses cocaine. And this is one of the ways they will measure addiction, is they'll put the rat in a bunch of different situations and they'll assess how often the rat just uses the cocaine button. And so the thing that was fascinating to me is somebody was explaining that there's this concept of enrichment. Enrichment is when a particular creature and its environment is conducive to, I would say, its overall mental and emotional well-being. And so for something like rats, it's like, are there other rats to play with? Is there a wheel it can run on? Is the food reasonably decent? Are the conditions reasonably clean? You know, these kind of things will contribute to the overall well-being of the creature. And so I would say the modern world deprives many people of that enrichment. And I think the line of who's responsible for all that and how we should act in that whole dynamic is very blurred. And so anyways, this guy was describing that when the rat had a beautiful, you know, pro-enrichment enclosure that had other rats to play with, had, you know, the water, had good food and things to play around with, it would hardly press the cocaine button at all. And I think this is very applicable to many of the health problems people have, because I no longer see the root of health issues as fundamentally down to somebody's individual moral character or even the sum total of their choices. I do think context is a very important part of this. And what put me on this idea, actually, is Dennis Rancourt. He had this long interview where he spoke about how, in his estimation, because he's looked at a lot of different statistics and has really dived deep into what causes ill health in individuals as well as populations, is what he points out is that your status in the dominance hierarchy, in the human dominance hierarchy, is more reflective of your health. And he has a particularly spicy take that the healthcare system is actually intended to reinforce that fact, not counteract that. And so that's a very spicy claim, but I can't help but see what he's pointing at when I think of recent events in recent years, when I think of how the incentives around these systems really work and the limitations that our jurisdictions, you know, for me it's Ontario, are trying to wrestle with in many of these circumstances. And so I guess in a weird roundabout way, I think health is in many ways, whether it's true or not, is about fooling your body into thinking you're important. And that's why I really do believe the modern world is so hostile to the idea of human health, because it basically treats everybody as functionally replaceable, as interchangeable economic units. But to go even further, the atomized individual is fundamentally an unhealthy one. And this idea that we aren't actually connected to other people, or that we shouldn't be, and that relying on others is shameful, and that helping others is somehow a problem. I mean, there is a fine line between assistance and enabling, but I think that's a way more nuanced discussion than just, oh, don't help people at all ever, because then, you know, helping people is bad or whatever. Like, I do think that the more we dive down deep into it, I think many of the reasons why people are struggling with poor health in general is often even self-inflicted damage from this idea that we have to do it all ourselves. I can be very upfront with anyone listening about the fact that I did not do this transformation alone. I had a lot of help from immediate family. I had help from many kind people giving encouragement throughout the process. But even more than that, I seek guidance. I got a personal trainer to help me learn the basics ropes, and I read books to learn how to really tackle the mental problems. Like, the idea that this was a solitary endeavor, even though I'm going to be honest, it felt quite solitary. It definitely feels like the majority of it, you know, it has been a solo thing. You know, nobody's losing the weight for me. It's not like I get to hand that off to somebody else for a time and then just focus on something else. No, it has been all me the entire time. But I think the idea that my transformation is somehow uniquely accreditable to me is absolutely insane. And more importantly, placing that expectation on people of, oh, well, if you really care, then, you know, you would just do it, is very fascinating on many levels. And so I really do, to stay on my soapbox here for a bit, I think it's really worth questioning how our environments, how individualism and these kind of attitudes can keep people who are in pretty dire circumstances that way. And that's why I'm starting to be a little suspicious of what I call the accountability performance. And you'll see this a lot. I saw this when I saw a video of this guy talking about how he was starting his similarly extreme weight loss journey. And basically, what he was doing was telling everybody, like, oh, I know this is all my fault. I know, you know, this is all me. And I don't know, I was a little sad when I was listening to that, because I'm like, I don't actually think so. Yes, our own health is all our own responsibility, for sure. And I'm definitely not in favor of us outsourcing our own agency to fancy gadgets, to government institutions, to whatever bizarre schemes are out there. But I think it's really important for us individually to consider that there is a broader fabric, a broader context that people exist in, and that can provide assistance, but also challenges to people improving their own health situation. And so, in my mind, that's why I have an obligation to be as grateful as I can for the support I've been given, but also be as transparent as possible. The last thing I would want is for somebody to point to my transformation and tell people that, like, see, you just need to try harder. Because I can tell you, as much as a lot of effort has been required in this process, what truly brought about this transformation was about decoupling from negative feedback loops, whether they be emotional, mental, or physical, and trying to build positive feedback loops. And I can definitely say the most powerful positive feedback loop in this overall context has been, beyond just raising your own confidence, I would say, is by this process where I've been gradually trying to come out of my shell and actually be around other people and have positive experiences around others. And that was a very challenging thing, to go from being entirely isolated because I was afraid fundamentally of interacting with people, and I think on some level trusting other people. And when you're in the position where it's hard to trust people, it is not a simple thing to get help. When you don't have any trust for really anything at that point, and you're trying to reach out, you really need those first few tries to go well, or else it can backfire catastrophically. And I can just imagine there are many circumstances where that happens to people. And I'm just very grateful that when I was beginning to come out of my shell gradually, I definitely got lucky and was honestly fairly strategic about where I was trying to find help. And I think it definitely paid off big. But what I'm really trying to reiterate here, and I think is important to really emphasize, is that this journey has been fairly solitary, but I haven't done it alone. And so if there's one thing that I try to reiterate throughout the course of these recordings, is that there's actually a lot that we can do when we do think about what we can do for others and those around us. And I think that is an important message that doesn't get enough emphasis these days. I will say, as somebody who he himself wants to wrestle with, you know, big structural fights and political battles, as somebody who's been very interested in those discussions, I'm realizing more and more how much the personal side of these things matter and how much we need to take action in our own lives, however we can, rather than necessarily focus on the broader fights, which I do think are important. I actually think even still tuning out of those fights entirely is a problem, is a mistake, and has driven many of the circumstances we're in. But I think just as that side shouldn't be neglected, the personal side definitely cannot be neglected. And that has been, I'll say, a particularly difficult thing to learn in my own life for darn sure. So believe me, I'm not attacking anyone for not being too great on that front, because I certainly haven't been. But all that to say, things are going pretty well, and I am very thrilled to be able to report a great deal of progress, and I'm excited to really push forward into what is going to be an exciting 2026. And I'm glad that I'm still going out for these walks despite it getting a little bit colder. I am going to try to redouble my efforts to publish these slightly more often. I also think I'm long overdue for doing a video, but I'm kind of waiting for the below 300 milestone to get that done. But all that to say, I definitely, absolutely, really appreciate you listening to this. And I hope you have an excellent one. Take care.